And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I'll tell you what, today I've got two topics that are rattling around in my brain, and one of them is probably the topic I'm going to talk about. It's a topic you need to hear about, but the other one is a topic I think you need to hear about also. So I'm a little conflicted as to which direction I'm going to go. So let's do this. Can I use you as my sounding board? I can? Okay. All right. So the first topic that I was considering was I was going to break out my time machine. Well, I was going to go back in time like 90 days. And what I was going to do was I was going to talk about some deals that came out 90 days ago. Things that came out 90 days ago would be things that you have completed today. It means if you found an asset 90 days ago and you started looking at that asset, you started analyzing that asset, you started doing the things that you needed to do to understand that asset. And then if you decided that you wanted that asset, you would acquire that asset, you would fix it up, you would put it back into service as clean, functional workforce housing, and then that asset would start paying you five different ways. Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I was going to talk about something you could have bought 90 days ago, and then I would talk about the returns that it would potentially provide you today, because 90 days would have passed. So everything that you would have had to do on that asset would have been completed by now. So you would be at the point where your asset is producing fruit. Kind of cool, right? All right. So now many of you are going, all right, what's the other argument, Al? Okay, here's the other argument. The other argument has to do with what's going on in Southern California. It's bad. California has never had a natural disaster at this level, I think, ever before. I mean, even when you compare it to the San Francisco fires that have occurred, even when you compare it to the earthquakes that we had in 1994, where freeways collapsed and fires burned all over Southern California, this seems to be even worse than all of those other things. And there's a lot of people suffering. There's a lot of people, well, they're having a bad time. They are. They've lost everything. And part of the reason they've lost everything is because of insurance. Yeah. So what I was going to do is I was going to talk about insurance and why insurance is so important. And more importantly, what happened to a lot of these people in Southern California with regards to their insurance, and the fact that their insurance was canceled on them prior to fire season. To me, that almost seems like it's criminal, but I also understand that the insurance companies are in business to make money. They're in business to make money. As a matter of fact, the money that you have in your 401k or your IRA, chances are you have some of that money invested in an insurance company. That insurance companies are a part of your portfolio. So you're in essence supporting what the insurance companies did. Now, you're not standing out there going, hey, look what I did. I destroyed all these people's livelihoods. You're not doing that. I get that. But at the end of the day, you're potentially invested in something that is doing something from a business standpoint that is materially affecting people in Southern California and causing them to lose everything. All right, now check it out. We're going to get in the time machine right now. You ready? Come on, jump on in. It's not as nice as Doctor Who's time machine. Okay, I'm coming clean. I'm telling you, first of all, it's a little cramped in here. It's not like the TARDIS where, you know, it looks like a phone booth on the outside and you walk in and it's like an expansive palace. Well, my time machine, it kind of looks like, not really a phone booth. It kind of just looks like a closet, really. Yeah, it kind of looks like a closet. And when you open up the closet door and you walk into the time machine, it's about as big as a closet. So it's going to be a little cramped in here. But buckle up, because what we're going to do is we're going to go back in time and we're going to look at some assets that you or potentially me could have acquired in 2024. Now, had you acquired these assets, you would be poised today to receive the fruits of the asset. What do I mean, the fruits of the asset? Well, consider the asset to be something like a plant. You go out and you make a decision that you're going to plant the plant. Well, in real estate, you go out and you make a decision that you're going to buy the asset. When it comes to the plant, you plant it, you nurture it, you water it, it grows, it becomes what it becomes, and then you're able to take the fruits of your labor from the plant, right? Well, the same thing with real estate. With real estate, you go out and you find an asset that you want to buy. Now, you just don't pick the first asset that comes along. You have to make an informed decision with regards to the asset. There are things that you have to consider. Things like, what is the potential for this asset to produce cash flow? What is the potential for this asset to grow in value? What is the potential for this asset to allow me to double my equity position in the asset, essentially the day I buy the asset? These are questions we have to ask ourselves. And what we're doing at this point is we're kind of screening through the asset, because not every asset that you look at is going to produce the fruits that you want. Some assets are going to produce fruits that you don't want. Yeah, I'm serious about that. So what you want to do is you want to screen the asset. You want to make sure that you're buying the right asset that aligns with your personal goals and objectives. Yes, you heard me correctly. This asset must align with your personal goals and objectives, because if it doesn't solve the problem that your goals and objectives present to you, then the asset is not worthy of being in your portfolio. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Okay, so you select an asset, and then you go through a process where you revitalize the asset. You do. Because what you have bought is not the beautiful, shiny, gorgeous house that your spouse would want you to buy. No, what you've bought is a dirty, nasty, worn out property that chances are nobody wants to live in that thing. It's that bad. It may even smell like animal feces or urine in the property. I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but I got to make a point. There are properties that you could walk into as a real estate investor and you could get this overwhelming smell. Yeah, I'm just going to call it an overwhelming smell that may almost be so overwhelming that it may want to cause you to lose the contents of your stomach or cause you to run outside to get your next breath of air. And some of you would run away from that property. Some of you would go, I don't want anything to do with that train wreck. And that would be a bad decision. It would be a bad decision on your part. And here's why. If the majority of people that look at that property have the same type of response that you had, in other words, they want to run away from the asset, then what that means is you're going to have very limited, if any, competition at all to acquire that property. Most people, when they're looking to buy real estate, they want something that's clean, functional, something that's all fixed up, something that replicates brand new product, even though it's not brand new product, but it's been revitalized so that it essentially presents as brand new product. Okay? That's what people are looking for when they're looking to buy real estate, because the majority of people that are out there that are looking to buy real estate are looking to buy real estate that they're going to live in. You heard me correctly. They're looking for their own personal residence, so they want everything to be nice. So if they were to come across a dirty, nasty property, the first thing that they would do is they would pass on it. They would absolutely pass on it. They would say, that's going to require too much work. That's going to require too much effort. They can't even see the potential that the property has in order to make them a lot of money, because that's not their goal or their objective. Their goal or their objective is to find a place for them to live and another goal and objective that they might have is they don't want to deal with all the nonsense that comes with real estate. They don't, because their mind has been conditioned that if a property is not in pristine condition, then it's probably not worth buying, which is good for you and me, because that means that a lot of the property that you and I should be buying is being passed on by other people that are looking at it before we can get to it. So that increases our odds to acquire the asset. It also increases our odds to acquire the asset for pennies on the dollar. What do I mean by pennies on the dollar? Well, real estate is worth different values. It's worth different values. It's worth the value that the real estate is currently in its current condition. That creates a value, or a price, if you will, for that real estate. Now, real estate that's all fixed up, that's all cleaned up, that's all ready to go, so that somebody essentially has a turnkey experience, well, that real estate tends to cost more money. It tends to cost more money. So when you're an investor, what you're looking for is you're looking for the assets that have the potential to give you the most opportunity to make the most amount of money. And the different lanes that you're looking at are the lanes of cash flow, equity capture, principal pay down, natural appreciation, and then, of course, the tax benefits of being a real estate investor. The tax benefits are wonderful, because what the tax benefits do for you is they essentially offset the money that you make on the cash flow. In other words, you don't pay any taxes on it. Pretty interesting, right? All right. We're going to get in the time machine, I promise, when we come back from the break, and we're going to go back to October of 2024. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Want to retire in 5 years or less? You can do it, just like Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa.
So we started passively. It was on vacation is when we realized we really need to take the plunge and be more active in this. Just because I'm an educator, I wanted to really know what I was doing. So it was just education on my part is really big. And I'm like, well, I could do that.
Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today because, well, we're going to jump into the time machine. We might as well just do it right now. Let me unplug this thing. Okay, it's unplugged. Yeah, I have. It's kind of like a Tesla. Yeah, I think Elon Musk designed this thing. No, actually, if Elon Musk had designed this thing, it probably wouldn't be in the shop as often as it is. I don't know who designed this thing, but it does require being plugged in like a Tesla, and it does have to get charged up. But once it's charged up, it's good to go. It can go through all kinds of different time zones. It can take us anywhere we want to go, any place in time, and we might as well go back to October. So I know it's a little cramped in here, but buckle up, because here we go. Boom, we're here. Okay, we are now in October of 2024. And some of you are going, wait a minute, dude, it was just January of 2025. I know, that's how amazing this time machine is. Like that, you're transported back literally 90 days. So why did I take you back 90 days? Well, here's why. Because at Lifestyles Unlimited, we know that it tends to take about 90 days for you to identify, acquire, remediate, put back into service, and start making money off of a real estate asset. It takes about 90 days to go through that entire process. Now, some assets can be turned over quicker because maybe they don't need as much rehab, or maybe you have refined your business systems to where you take advantage of time, and you have things lined up so that things occur one right after the other. You don't have a lag in time between events occurring. Yeah, this occurs because you become more experienced as a real estate investor. You start to understand your craft better. You start to hone in on the things that can benefit your business, and you start to avoid the things that will detract from your business. Yeah, yeah, you guess what? I just called you an entrepreneur. Yes, I did. Please don't hit me in the nose. It's a kind gesture. I'm calling you an entrepreneur because you are thinking a little bit differently than how you normally think. Now, the majority of you out there, you're plugged into to whatever you do for a living. Maybe you work for corporate America. Maybe you work for government services. Maybe you do your own thing. You're self-employed. But at the end of the day, the things that you do on a daily basis are designed to support those employment systems. Yes, you do everything to support those employment systems, even if you're self-employed. Because when you're self-employed, one of the things that you learn is that it's a turnkey business. If you're not there to turn the key, there will be no business. And you are focused on the day-to-day business. You're not stepping back and looking at things like an entrepreneur would look at things. Pretty interesting, right? So I think it's safe to call you an entrepreneur because what you're doing now is you're expanding your mind into areas that you've not expanded into before. Or if you have expanded here before, this is a wake-up call that, you know what? You did it before, you can do it again. Pretty cool, right? All right, so what's going on with real estate in October of 2024? Well, here's what's going on. Here is one particular asset that came into my inbox in October of 2024. Let me read to you what the deal points are, and let's see if you can determine whether or not this is something that would make sense for you as an asset that you would want to acquire, remediate, and put back into service as clean, functional workforce housing. All right, check it out. You can buy this asset for $90,000. $90,000. That's what you write a check for $90,000. Now there's a way to do that you don't have to reach into your own bank account and pull the whole $90,000 out. There's actually a way that we can pay for this entire property and use zero of our own dollars. Zero. Not $90,000 worth, but zero. It's called hard money. There are lenders out there that understand our business model. And because they understand our business model, they're willing to create loan products that we can use that enhance our ability to operate our business model. Not only does it make money for the hard money lender, it makes us a lot of money too. Because what it does for us is it preserves our capital. We are using other people's money to acquire the asset. As a matter of fact, what you don't know about this property, other than the fact it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath property, 924 square feet, built in 1947. What we don't know about this property is what is this property worth when it's all fixed up? Because that is a very important piece of information that we must know. The comps in this particular area for where this property is located. By the way, this particular property just happened to have been, or happens to be, because we're back in October now, right? Happens to be in the greater San Antonio market. So this thing existed in the greater San Antonio market. And the greater San Antonio market says that property, when all fixed up, can be acquired for $175,000. That's a big difference between our asking price, in other words, the price that we would pay for the property at $90,000, and what it's worth all fixed up at $175,000. That's $85,000 of equity. Do you see that? There's $85,000 between what we can buy the property for and what the property would be worth if we fixed it all up. Is $85,000 enough equity for us to do the things that we need to do? In other words, to repair the property, to fix that property up, to breathe new life into it. I'm here to tell you, yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think we're going to use up all of the equity. I think a lot of that equity is going to be protected for us. In other words, we're going to use that hard money loan. Now, here's the thing I need to tell you. A hard money lender would loan us 70% of the after repair value of the property. And what they allow us to do with that 70% of value, which by the way, is $122,500. Yeah, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Because now you have a lender who's willing to loan me $122,500 on an asset that is only worth $90,000 in its present value. It's kind of weird, isn't it? But here's what happens. We're going to use that $122,500 to buy the asset for $90,000. And that's going to leave an additional $32,500 that we can use towards repairs, towards closing costs, towards holding costs, towards any expenses generated by this property as we're going through the rehabilitation process. And what we find out is that we'll run out of money. We will. The repairs required on this asset are going to require us to come out of pocket $16,900, almost $17,000. But let's think about that for a minute. Where else can you buy a property that has a value of $175,000 for $17,000 out of pocket? Now, somebody else bought it, but we're analyzing the deal because we have to understand what we could have been the beneficiary of had we bothered to buy this asset today. I mean, 90 days ago. I mean, today. You know what I'm talking about, right? I feel like I'm in a little time loop. Yeah, a little time loop. All right, so let's get back to this property. Again, we could have bought this property for $90,000. The after repair value of the property, in other words, what properties all fixed up are trading for in that general neighborhood, is $175,000. We could have bought the property for $17,000 cash out of pocket. My actual notes say $16,900, but you know, we can round it up. We can say it's $17,000. And here's what I find really interesting. The way this deal is set up, when we use our hard money loan to pay for the asset, remember, we've got a hard money loan that's willing to loan us $122,500. We're gonna use $90,000 of that money to buy the property. So far, we haven't put any of our own money into this deal. Then we're going to use that money to cover all, and if not all, the majority of the repairs. Now, in this particular deal, the rehab costs work out to be about $42,000. The closing and holding costs work out to be about $10,000. So we're going to use that $32,500 that's remaining on that hard money loan and apply it to our rehab and closing costs, which means we're going to come out of pocket with only $17,000. Now, some of you are thinking, dude, $17,000 is a lot of money. That is a lot of money. And I'd agree with you. It's a lot of money. But when you compare it to, I mean, if you were to create a ratio of the cash out of pocket to the after repair value of the asset, you're essentially buying the property for less than 10 cents on the dollar. When you analyze the amount of money that you're actually putting into that deal, less than 10 cents on the dollar is your acquisition cost. Pretty cool, right? Now, the majority of you believe that if you're buying rental property and you're an investor, you have to put 20% down. You believe that because you've been conditioned to believe that, but it's not true. The people that put 20% down give up a lot by doing so. They give up equity capture because they're probably paying full retail value for the asset. They want something that's turnkey so they don't get the benefit of doing the remediation, which allows them to make money because the value created by the remediation is a lot more than the cost of the remediation. The difference between the two goes on your bottom line, goes effectively in your pocket. Now, you can't spend it because it's considered an unrealized capital gains. It means you have to do something to actually tap into that money. Oh, what could you do to tap into that money? Oh, okay. Well, two things you could do. You could sell the property, or you could do a cash out refinance on the property. Those are two different ways you can tap into the equity in the asset. One is a capital gains producing event. The other is not. If you sell it, that's the capital gains producing event. If you refinance it, there's no capital gains producing event. It is considered a tax-free restructuring of debt. So any money you pull out of the asset is considered tax-free because Uncle Sam doesn't care about charging you capital gains until you actually sell the property. That's the way it all works. It's just the way it works. I didn't make it up. Del Walmsley, our founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited, didn't make it up. It's just the way it works. So what I'm getting at is that you could have bought a property 90 days ago, and that property could be producing a lot of great things for you. Now, we've talked about the equity side, the fact that we could have almost tripled our money on the equity capture. In other words, we put almost $17,000 into the deal, but we captured $33,000 of equity. That's 195% return on the capital gains. But what about the cash flow? What does this property do for us from a cash flow perspective? Well, this property is poised to return $350 per month in cash flow, $350. Now, some of you are going, wow, $350 doesn't sound a lot in relation to the $17,000 that I just spent on the property. I mean, I just dropped $17,000 on this property and I'm only making $350 per month in cash flow. Well, I think you're looking at it wrong. I think you have to look at it from a different perspective. $350 in positive passive income is $350 more per month that you have that you can spend in your household. You could take the family out for a really nice dinner on $350, or you could pay your insurance payment with the $350, or you could pay your utility costs with the $350, or you could spend it on whatever you want. And that's the point I'm making. It's your money. It doesn't go into a 401k. It doesn't go into an IRA. It doesn't go into any type of government protected retirement account. It goes into your personal account for you to spend how you want. And that income is protected by the depreciation that is thrown off by the asset. Yeah, I know. I just blew your mind, right? So that $350 is not diluted by the fact you have to pay taxes against that money. The depreciation thrown off by that asset is offsetting the tax liability. So the $350 becomes $350. What if you annualize it? What if you looked at that $350 from an annual perspective? How much money is that? $4,200. That's what $350 annualized is. $4,200. So think about that for a minute. When's the last time your boss gave you a raise of $4,200? But this asset that we're looking at in October of 2024, it could have provided you with an injection of $4,200 into your household per year. Now, when you consider the return based on a cash on cash return, $4,200 per year, when divided by the $17,000 that you put into the deal, gives you about a 25% return on investment just on the cash on cash. 25%. Now, that's probably a lot better than you're getting in whatever you're doing for retirement right now. So when you put everything together, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's get back in the time machine. Let's go back to the future. Okay, ready? I'm going to push the button. Boop. Okay, we're back in January 2025. Let's take a look at what this asset could have done for us had we owned it for a year. Now, we've only owned it for 90 days, but this property has gone through the entire remediation process. We have found a great resident to live in that asset, and that resident is paying us at the first of the month, every month, on time, because we found great people that want to live in a great property, and that's what we created. So we're getting a 25% return on investment on the cash on cash. We earned almost a 200% return on capital gains on the equity capture. We're the beneficiaries of the property going up in value every year, because real estate tends to go up in value year over year. So even if we just analyze and we just say it only goes up 3.5% per year, we're still getting an increase in our equity because the value of the property is just naturally going up. We're paying a mortgage every month because we have learned as Lifestyles Unlimited members the powerful effect that leverage has on our investments. So we leverage our investments correctly. And by doing so, we pay down the principal every month, which in turn increases our equity position in the property. And I talked to you about the tax benefits, the fact that the depreciation that is thrown off by this asset, something the government makes us take, offsets the tax liability on the cash flow that we earn, which allows us to keep all of the money for ourselves. Now, if we just hold this asset, if we just hold it for 1 year, 1 year in total, and we take a look at the different ways we make money in real estate, we're going to earn, let's say we sold it at the end of 1 year, just 1 year, 1 year and one day, because we want to get the benefit of long-term capital gains taxes. We would earn a combined net total return of 143% return on investment. Real estate. It's why we went back in time. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.